welcome back to the regular exclusive podcast with Jason Renee. And today is a very special day, not because, you know, we're talking about our first 2024 horror movie, but we got a trailer drop for a movie that we have been religiously looking out for. Maxine, the third movie in Ty West's crazy out of nowhere trilogy, just dropped, and boy oh boy is it a doozy. Renee, are you okay? Because I know that you like set alarm clocks to watch it ASAP.
I'm pretty sure I texted you about this like five times because I was like, I don't know if you've heard, but this is happening. And I don't think you responded right away. So I was like, hey, FYI, this is like huge news. This is like the biggest news I've received in a while. It kind of just took over my life. So I'm so glad that it finally dropped. I mean, they just gave us like, you know, a few days notice. I feel like they told us right before the weekend. So it was just like only a couple days, thankfully, to wait. But man, did it deliver. I feel like it was better than I ever dreamed it could be.
It's a crazy trailer. And quick catch up for anyone who's not familiar. If you aren't, I'm sorry. That's your problem. But Ty West did the movie X a couple of years ago, which was awesome. And it was set in 1979. And it felt like it was from 1979. And then the same year, he dropped the prequel, Pearl, which took place in 1918. And again, felt like it was in 1918.
Mm-hmm.
And now Maxine is the newest edition. It's set after X in the 80s. And this looked like this is Ty West, like putting his stamp down. He's like, here's my loaf. I run this genre. Because, yeah, like, it has everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that he's hitting all these different eras of film, too, with, like, the 70s. And he really, I would say, X really captures the Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibe in a way mm-hmm. that no other Texas Chainsaw movies have since the original. And the, like, Pearl feels to me like the perfect mashup of, like, Wizard of Oz and Psycho.
Yeah.
So I just love that this is like now like a dirty, grimy 80s slasher kind of movie,
yeah,
which just feels like so great to add to the mix. Because like X is kind of a slasher too, but it does feel a bit more closely related to like Texas Chainsaw, where it's like it's a slasher, but maybe not a standard slasher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like this will be definitely more of a standard slasher. And the fact that it's like in 1985 in LA, the porn scene and Hollywood, like it's incredible. And then they just had to throw Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, in just because you have to, I feel like, at this time. But also it feels like it naturally fits. It also gives it a little bit of like a Quentin Tarantino vibe. I'm wondering how they'll play with real history, like the way that he does, where he kind of changes things, you know?
Yeah, like is Maxine gonna end up killing the Night Stalker?
Like, is he targeting her? Or like even like other people have already like suggested that maybe like she's the murderer this time because she's all fucked up from X.
Oh, that'd be good.
That would be good. There's a lot of possibilities, and I'm honestly okay with wherever we go because I feel like no matter what, this movie just feels like it's going to be a cocaine ride from top to bottom, and it's going to be just a fucking blast.
Totally. And like along the lines of like other movies, it also like feels like there's going to be hints of like Scream in mm-hmm. there, because like it's like Maxine's trying to transfer from being a porn star to being in a horror movie. So it's like, mm-hmm. okay, so Ty West is going to do this movie where he's including real history. So it's kind of going to be true crime-ish. And then also it's going to have some funny comedy like in all the other ones.
Yeah.
It's going to be meta because it's also going to talk about other horror movies. And like there's that whole line.
Which stars got their start in horror movies. And I love that he like the guy lists off like four and then she's like, and Maxine fucking Minx. I was like, dude, that is fucking badass. I love that so much.
It's going to be awesome. And I cannot wait for it.
Literally, I feel like I was almost anticipating just a teaser, honestly. Like, I know this movie, I don't know if you know, but it comes out in July. So, like, to drop, well,
That's the official date?
Yeah. I don't know, like, when in July, I forget, but they announced it already. I want to say it's, like, maybe mid-July, so
it's coming soon.
Yeah, it's perfect. And it feels like normally we would have already gotten a teaser by now. So like the fact that they dropped a full trailer, I'm so excited. I was expecting like a little teaser just to give us a little something. But the fact that we got a full-blown trailer that kind of sets up the whole thing and shows off the insane cast in this movie that like I forgot some of these people were announced, like Kevin fucking Bacon. Also hilarious that they didn't include Kevin Bacon in the list of celeb or like famous actors who got their start in horror movies because hello, Friday the 13th.
Oh yeah, he's in that.
Yeah, he gets killed by Jason's mom in the first one. So
They also did not include Johnny Depp.
yeah, there's so many. I mean, there's honestly, it's not even like you could name 500 easily. I feel like most people did.
Well, it's going to be a blast, and you know that we're going to talk about it when it comes out. So
Yeah,
get
we're gonna
ready.
talk about that and Pearl and X probably just one more time. I cannot fucking wait. I don't know if you know this, but Ty West did, I think, recently say that he has other ideas for this franchise, like for the like for Maxine. So like, and
Oh.
maybe even for Pearl. So like, this could be fucking still going after Maxine, which would be
Dude,
incredible. If we got, I mean, we're lucky to have three, but if there's more, I'm gonna fucking lose my mind.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. Give us all the movies you want, Ty West. I don't even care if they're related to this universe. I'll take anything. But like, if they are, oh my God, I will cry.
Right. Well, let's take a little break and get into You'll Never Find Me.
I'm sorry. The weather has gone crazy out there. Is it okay if I use your phone?
I have to admit, this thunderstorm is strange. What made you come here?
I don't know. I just ran. I'd really need a lift into town.
I'll take you there when the weather lets up.
Do you get lonely all the way out here? Hiding.
Hiding?
We're all just out running something.
You've never been here before. You have a familiar face.
I should probably get out of your way.
I don't think you can. I'm just messing with you.
All right. Let's break the horror movie seal. We're talking about the first horror movie of 2024, You'll Never Find Me.
Not the first one, but like our first one,
What was it?
right?
Yeah, our first.
Okay. I was just
Yes.
like, I would like everyone to know we are aware other horrors come out. Not slamming on it. I did just watch Night Swim and Imaginary. They're not as bad as people say. Just saying, they're pretty mid. But this, I will say, maybe the first like real notable one that just came out of nowhere, and
Yeah.
especially our first real one this year.
Yes. This is the first one that we've seen that we're like, we should talk about this.
Immediately, like this was a quick turnaround.
Yeah. It's a Shudder original. So you can watch it there. You can rent it on all the other places. I was really surprised with this one because this is not like a jump scare kind of movie. You know, like
Thank fuck. I'm really annoyed when movies just have so many jump scares nowadays. It's like, I feel like we're all just as a population so like over it, right? So I'm
Yeah.
like, thank God when a movie's doing that, I'm like, get out of the 2000s, man. We've all moved on. It's 2024. Do something unique. And this movie, thank fuck, didn't have any of that stupid shit.
Well, and the worst is when the movies put the scariest thing in the trailer. And so then when you watch the
Yeah.
movie, you're like, okay, they gotta save the biggest scare for the movie. No, they don't. We already saw it in the trailer.
That's so true, though. You're so right. Like, I like watching trailers, but I will say, like, for horror movies sometimes now, like, I can't stop myself, but like this was one I am glad that I didn't look up a trailer for. Like, I just saw this available and was like, there's literally barely anything to talk about with this movie online. Like, people, it's a very like small movie. So I was glad that I didn't, I kind of just went into it blind.
Yeah, same here. I had no clue what it was about. You watched it and you told me I need to check it out, and you said it gives very like 10 Cloverfield Lane kind of vibes.
Yeah.
And you're 100% right.
That's all you need to know, you know?
But yeah, so, I mean, this movie is it's one of those movies that, you know, we've all seen a bunch of them. It all takes place in one location. It all takes place in this trailer park, you know, and there's a lot of examples like that. And we love this genre, you know, like Hateful
Eight.
This
is one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah,
Hateful Eight.
10 Cloverfield Lane, the first Saw movie.
Evil Dead.
Evil Dead.
There's a lot of movies that do this, especially horror. I feel like it's also sometimes usually like a survivor or survival kind of movie too.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like kind of maybe putting those vibes in my head watching this movie, which honestly kind of fit. But it's a little bit more of like a mystery kind of piece, I feel like. More of like that, a character-driven film, which is still like, I love horror, that we're getting a lot more of it. But if you think about horror, people probably don't think character-driven stories, you know, but there are a lot of them.
They're watching the wrong horror movies.
Agreed. But this one really is like, I feel like the perfect example of a character-driven horror movie. It's more of a thriller, I guess, too. But like, you know, nowadays, if it's slightly scary, it's horror.
Well, the last 10 minutes of this movie are horrific, but we'll get there.
Yeah, true that.
But yeah, so I mean, this is a prime example of why we love the horror genre. Like, this is these two people, the directors and writers, Josiah Allen and Indiana Bell. This is their directorial debut. They've only done short films, and like, I wasn't able to find any exact figures of the budget, but I kept seeing the term micro budget. And
me too.
I'm guessing that this was made for less than like $300,000.
Yeah, you're better at guesstimates than I am. I don't even know, but I would imagine this doesn't feel like it's like, you know, I mean, just having watched like even Wonka lately, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is like really toning it down. This is like bare minimum on top of like, I mean, even the location is very bare. It's just... But it does look, I feel like it just feels, it doesn't feel like a shit movie. Like,
no.
When you look at it, it looks really good for such a micro budget.
Yeah. I mean, and like, we've seen other movies that look shockingly good for what their budget is, like The Terrifier 2. Like, that was made for like $300,000, you know?
And yeah.
So
talk about looking good. But I will say, like, this movie, outside of that one, you could tell they're all spending it on the special effects. Whereas here it's like they're spending it to like in the right places. Not that like Terrifier 2 didn't. They need to spend it all on effects. That's that movie is. But like even just like the look of this movie is so much better. And like the camera work, I mean, everything's just really well made. It's like almost shocking that it would be like a first movie after like a short.
Yeah. And everything is really good. It's very clean in how it's shot. Like, it's very smooth. You know, like, and it's just crazy to me. Like, we love horror because it's like, this is the genre that people are allowed to be creative. They can do more with less. And like, so 10 Cloverfield Lane is like the I think the best comparison of this, where it's like, you don't know if the main guy is the bad guy or if he's actually the good guy kind of situation.
If he's really helping her, because he seems like he's helping her, but he also seems scary. And like some of the things that he does and says is like weird. And like also, where's the proof? Like, no, it's hard. It's like one of those movies that plays with like, he's saying this and like, I can't do this because of that. But it's like, but do I trust him? I don't know. I'm curious though. Like, I feel like 10 Cloverfield Lane is a little bit more focused, where like you're really only unsure of John Goodman in that movie.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
I do feel like this movie, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I was also very weary of, because it's a man and a woman, and a woman showing up at his door during a storm looking for help and like wanting a ride to a phone or
at like
whatever.
2 a.m.
2 a.m. And so it's like weird, and she has no shoes on and she's like soaking wet, and it just, there's a lot of questions. So I was just like, also had a lot of questions for like who she was and if she was like really like a bad person or not, because like she seems like you'd naturally just assume the woman is the like main character, but I feel like this movie really plays with it equally.
It really does. There was a lot of times that I was like, maybe she's not as
all there.
Yeah, maybe
or, like,
she's not as innocent as she initially seems. Like,
yeah, like she's devious too.
Yeah.
Kind of seeming.
And yeah, like this. So, I mean, like, I think everyone knows, like, 10 Cloverfield Lane was not originally supposed to be a Cloverfield movie. It was originally just like this thriller.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like this is the movie that we get. Like, this is what 10 Cloverfield Lane was kind of supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then they worked it in and
with aliens. They
with aliens at the end.
Yeah. But, as you do, because that's how they only, that's the only way they've kept the Cloverfield franchise going is just tacking the name onto shit. So,
well, it worked for that movie. But like that movie had a $15 million budget. And there, I mean, you get John Goodman and
Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Yeah.
So it's like you get some star power in there. But like the vibes were very, very similar. And it's like, I just love that. That you get these creative people that can match the same kind of tone and vibe as a $15 million budget movie.
Totally.
Without that.
Yeah, so. 100%. I feel like you get really great actors here that I feel like are even more real because they're like, they just look like normal people. Also, gotta love the Australians. The like Australian accents are great, but also just like, I love a good Australian horror movie. Their atmosphere is out of control. And I feel like this movie has such an interesting and really great atmosphere to it.
Yeah. It's the, I was thinking about this, like, so the, I think this movie is like, so it's an hour 36. So it's without credits. It's a tight 90. But
fuck yeah. That's what we like to see, baby.
But, and I mean this in a good way. This movie felt long. Just like the way that they do it.
Like, I felt like it was quicker because I was like, I felt like there was nothing happening. Like it's two people talking, but I was like so on the edge of my seat and like so enthralled by everything that it felt like everything kind of went by quick. But so, that's interesting that you felt like it was kind of drawn out. I see what you mean because it does feel that way. But
yeah.
For some reason, I was just like, man, they're really moving through this. I'm just used to like fucking Hollywood bloat in like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
That was how the other, I mean, I'm pretty sure Cloverfield Lane is probably closer to that time. So maybe I'm just associating that. There's got to be at least 3 to 4 times where she catches him doing something sneaky or he catches her doing something sneaky. But like, they kind of really just kind of breeze through it in a weird way, even though it's so slow moving, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And the way that, like the dialogue in this, it's there's not really like a big plot that's like that we're progressing through. Like the dialogue, it really reminded me a lot of Quentin Tarantino, where like it's very much just like people having very, I'm not going to say natural conversations, but like
really great dialogue. Like they're saying really great, like interesting things. Like I think it was the guy who started talking that way. And it kind of was like, I did not expect this guy to be that much of a thinker, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like the introspective kind of things he was saying about how humans are just like fear and like excitement are the same things. And we're just like a bunch of moths. And it's like, I was like, huh? Like, I just wasn't expecting that. So then when it came, it was kind of really unique already that like, granted, there is not really a plot. It's more just like who's like what are our thoughts on who's suspicious or who's fine, or maybe they're someone's crazy or maybe someone's a ghost. Like I thought maybe someone could have been a supernatural being of some sort too. Like I was pretty much like everything's on the table, even though there's not really a plot that I'm like trying to figure out. It was more the characters that you're trying to figure out.
Yeah, and it's funny. The first time I watched it, I was not getting any vibes of like supernatural things.
Interesting.
It wasn't until like the shower scene when she got in the shower and then like blood
there
came
blood
down
and then no
like,
blood.
Oh, wait a second. What's going on?
Yeah. But, there was like a few moments where people were like seeing things that weren't really there that I was like, okay, are we both crazy? Are we not really here? Like, is somebody like, I thought maybe she was some supernatural thing.
Yeah.
There to like test him or whatever because he was this old hermit. I don't know. And then he kept talking like he had some past demons and shit, which we all do. But like, you know, I felt like it was still, I was kind of open for anything. I'm sure most people were probably watching this, like, at least like I know Nolan was like, I really hope there's no supernatural shit.
Yeah.
But like I would have been fine with that. I felt like it could have gone either way. I'm I'm interested though, like why, like I guess, yeah, the visions and stuff, once that starts, it's kind of like, okay, now it's on the table. But like I was kind of just ready for it from the first way that she knocked on the door, because it was like
Yeah.
he was, I was like, okay, either he's imagining it to be that extreme, but also I kind of felt seen, because I was like, when someone just knocks on my fucking door like regularly, that's how it feels to me inside. So I
Yeah.
was kind of like, maybe this guy's just like doesn't like people, or like doesn't like when people show up at his house. I would
Yeah.
also be that scared if it was, especially in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right, like they really did a great job of playing around with like who's the liar in this situation. You know, 'cause like yeah, she shows up barefooted and is like I walked from the beach. And it's like what? And then she like changes her story and says she was at a bar
Or she was at
and
work and she like shouldn't have volunteered to close up, and you're like, so wait. And he's even asking like, wait, what? Like,
Yeah.
and she just kind of like moves over it and stuff.
Yeah, but then like he's just like red flags all over the place. Like I think this movie could just be called Red Flags. Like
It
everyone
could
is
be.
giving
That's
bad
true.
vibes. But like he's like saying, "Oh, there's a payphone down the road, but we got to wait for the weather to clear up. I'll take you there. The gates are closed." Like all this stuff, it's like, "Oh, how coincidental that like
Right. Like, if I was her, I'd be also be like, okay, fuck that. I'm leaving no matter what. I don't care. I just want to go. Get me out of here. But it's funny how, like, I thought it was really interesting how it played with that whole thing of like man and women, especially a stranger. Like, she shows up asking for help, and like, he's, I would say, definitely gives off some red flags. But I would say, like, throughout it, I was almost thinking of it in a way of like, women, as a woman, you kind of have to associate almost everything that he does could be a red flag,
Yeah.
right? So it's like when he's like angry, like later, like, well, where did I go wrong? I offered you a towel, I made you food, I let you take a shower, like I fucking let you dry your clothes. Like, what did I do? Like, I
Yeah.
told you, you know what I mean? And so I
Yeah.
was kind of thinking for a while, I was almost like, it's interesting if it's like he's, I was almost like, it's gonna be different because normally your association is the guy is the problem. But he doing things that I felt like were on the line of like could be a red flag. And then I was like, maybe it's just because he fucking isn't good with dealing with people. But then
Yeah.
you're also like, I'm like, she's fucking noticing these things, thank God. But she did also turn up here in the middle of the night. Like, what was she expecting? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I like how quickly that vibe changes of like, thank you for helping me, to like, okay, now fuck off. I'm gonna do it by myself. I don't want you anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, and the biggest red flag is when she sees all of his trophies that he
Yeah.
has just in the kitchen, just displayed, like the necklace, the
All the
hair.
jewelry, yeah.
You know, the little powder thing with the mirror. I forget what those are called,
Yeah.
but yeah, it's just like he's not even
Compact.
compact. That's it.
But yeah, he's not really hiding it, but like also, this doesn't seem like the guy who has visitors over all the time. But then you're like, yeah, it does kind of give off a shrine kind of vibes. But then I was also like, you know, then he gives her a sweater and says it's an old girlfriend, and later says it's his wife. So I was like, maybe he has some shit because he's got some problem with like his wife, whatever. But then it, there's a lot of things that could go either way. That's why I loved it, is I was really debating back and forth of like, I don't want to be too hard on this guy. But then I'm also like, that does look like a fucking shrine, you know, with all your fucking jewelry you've taken off of bitches and then like stuff like that. So I feel like I was always kind of ready to question him, but this movie does a good job where you're like not fully ready to say aha at any moment. You know what I mean? You
Yeah.
have to wait a long time, but that's what's interesting. And like the power dynamics kind of shift throughout it, where it's like she might react really strongly and be like, no, like fuck this. And then he like is does something and then it changes how she feels, and she backs down, and then he seems kind of more aggressive. And like it's just a very interesting shift that I think. The fact that they end up playing bullshit, like the poker
Yeah.
game, is just perfect. Because that's really like that could also be the name of this movie, is
Yeah.
bullshit.
Yeah. And the bullshit scene is just great. Like
Incredible.
they're playing the game and then he tells the story of like how he met his wife. And like his character is just so unnerving, like the entire movie. And then he has like these little moments where like he becomes a very like almost sympathetic character, like when he tells these very like human stories, and you're like, oh, you might just be a sweet old man, you know?
Honestly, that's so funny because I feel like I was the opposite this whole movie, where I was like ready for it to be her. So I was way more sus of everything she was up to, which is weird because she was mostly reacting to sketchy shit that she thought he was up to. But yeah. I was kind of like, I was taking this whole movie the whole time as like a maybe a flip on like, yeah, normally she would be 100% right to be like all scared of him and all this shit. But I thought he was just trying his best and maybe he's just not a people person. That was my stance this whole movie. So when he did that, I was like, okay, cool. I can feel better. I just wonder, I honestly feel like I normally would just be on the woman's side. So it's interesting to me that I started off all like the whole movie being on his side mostly.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I think it's only because we start the movie with him. He's like the POV character, like he's in his thing. Doing it, you know, just sitting there fucking drinking and listening.
Yeah.
And then she shows up. So that's why I think I was like, he's our point of view character. He's the lead hero. And if he's not looking like it throughout the movie. So I was like ready for him to be like, for her to be like, you know, either like some crazy bitch or maybe she's like insane.
Yeah.
Maybe like she was some supernatural demon ghost here to kill him or haunt him or whatever. I guess I was just not on board with him being a villain for the entire movie, which is interesting since you were like, yeah, no, everything he does is sketchy. I thought he was being nice really the whole time.
Each character, you know, they just kind of flip flop on who's being sketchy, you know, and
yeah.
And I mean, this whole movie is two actors, you know,
yeah.
The guy is Brendan Rock and then the woman is Jordan Cowan. I guess they had worked together with these directors on a short that they did.
Was it the same story? I wonder, because I feel like that's a big thing now, or especially like for a long time, you know, they make a short and then they make a full length version. But I kind of feel like this wouldn't even work as a short. So maybe it's something unique.
Yeah, I mean, from the director's filmography, it doesn't seem like this was a short before. So they worked together on a short of a different story. But like their chemistry was really good together. And I thought, yeah, the BS scene is where they like the two characters really settled into each other. And like they had a very just like real conversation, like they'd kind of been feeling each other out. Leading up to that moment.
Yeah. Kind of guarded.
Like, yeah. And then they both just kind of like laid it out a little bit. Like she talked about like being unemployed and like, you know, making bad decisions. And then like he told the story of his wife. And it was just like, yeah, the BS scene especially just reminded me a lot of Tarantino, where you just have these two people just having this really intense conversation.
Yeah. Totally. And, especially over a poker game, it really fit. But I also think it's like that's how Tarantino is, where you're like the plots are like not necessarily what you're figuring out. It's more about who you're figuring out the characters in his movies, too.
Yeah.
No matter what, usually it's like there's some of them that are more plot driven. But I would say like even just thinking of like, you know, Pulp Fiction, it's all very character driven. You're trying to figure out what the characters are going to do in any given scene. Right.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's so like 100% why it reminded me of that, too. And like just peeling it back slowly and kind of adding new layers every so often. And like the fact that they were both seeing shit, I was like, this could be anybody. You know what I mean? But yeah. Like, I kind of was almost like, maybe this is supernatural. Cause like usually in a movie, when you're like, okay, maybe one person's crazy, but it's like typically they're the person seeing shit that's not there, but it's like both of them were seeing shit that would like go back to normal in a second. Mm-hmm. So I was like, have we all been here before? Is this a time loop? Like, what is this? So I was kind of like looking at it that way because they were both experiencing these weird things.
Yeah, I was like, I was thinking for a little bit, I was like, is this the first ever haunted trailer movie that's ever come out? Like,
yeah, it could
is
be
the like trailer on top of a burial ground situation.
Yeah. It's like The Shining, but it's a fucking mobile park trailer. It's interesting because I literally also the storm, I think, just feels supernatural, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah, like
so
pounding
intense
on the roof. And
I
stuff.
Mean, I don't know much about Australia storms, but if it's like their wildlife and like living conditions and fucking everything else there, it's probably dangerous as fuck. So maybe that's normal. But like I was like, man, I mean, I used to live in Seattle, but I feel like this is intense. You
Yeah.
know? Like it felt like almost like someone was being tested by something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and another thing that I think was so, I'll say, effective or impactful of watching this movie was just like the cinematography. Like,
Yes, camera work. Excellent.
I like borderline cheered whenever they, I called it the Lazy Susan camera swing,
Yeah,
like where it
let's call
just
it the ambidextrous Susan, okay? It's very sexist to call her
yeah,
lazy. I always say that now from Curb, the
just
ambidextrous or the ambitious Susan.
like
Yes, where it's like
they do that
panning.
shot where it just spins around the entire room, and it's just like so immersive and interesting. And like I just think about like the planning that they do of like the camera starts here and then it swings, and then as it swings, like you have to get up and get to your next spot. But then like you
Yeah.
see that other actor like walking down the hallway or something,
Yep.
and it was they did it a couple times and I loved it every time they did it.
That's always the coolest shit, honestly, because it's like I feel it's like, to be fair, I'm always just gonna compare it to Ari Aster, but like when they do that shit, it just feels like such control of the camera in your first picture feels like in almost unfair. But it's like insane how well it's like, I mean, it's very much like in the same thing of like Kubrick, you know. I watched a bunch of his movies again recently, and I'm just like, the camera work is out of this world. When you have the control of the camera, it really stands out. And like something else with Kubrick and Ari Aster, even like they'll in this movie, they really all have in common that they'll have these crazy, really intense like camera work that's going on, but like not necessarily something like crazy important happening at the moment, but it's all part of the scene in a way that's different than other movies, right? Where you get like those big sweeping action shots are really cool and stuff, but like when nothing's happening but you're still doing something really fascinating with the camera, I feel like I'm even more into what you're doing.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and this movie is just like, a lot of movies have, they kind of go through waves of, this is nice and then this is crazy or like action scenes. Like they go through waves of tone. This movie is just like unrelenting. It's just, it's tense the entire time. And I think that's kind of like a double-edged sword where it's like, this movie could come off as exhausting, and like that's why people don't like it, because it's just like there's not a, like it's just one tone it's the entire time.
You kind of got to be a thinker too, because you got to be like, there's not a ton of shit that's obvious happening in your face, but ugh. God, I hate that that's a thing we have to talk about now when you're talking about people not liking movies for certain reasons. Oh, geez, there wasn't a ton of action and nothing was really in your face about it. Like, that shouldn't be good. We don't like that.
Yeah,
I like
like,
that this movie was like tense and like a thriller in that way for being just like two people talking. But like, to me, I think with the offset of the storm outside, it was like so cozy. I felt so fucking. Like watching this movie wrapped in a blanket, like at night, like it was just so fucking wonderful. Maybe that's just because I have been away from Seattle for too long that like the rain feels comforting and like I'm in the desert, so that's probably part of it. But it just was like super fucking cozy. I also just love horror, so maybe that's another thing.
I was
But
about to say, this reminds me of you saying that you just like fall asleep to horror movies. They're your
oh my
comfort
God,
movies.
what the fuck else am I gonna watch before bed? Come on, something happy, then I'm gonna have horrible dreams. Life's not like that.
Gosh. So yeah, then the BS scene is really like where everything comes to a head,
Yeah.
and we start getting into like the final act where
The
some
twists are
crazy things
revealed.
happen.
Yeah. So before we talk, I think that this is the perfect point to talk about it. But like this is basically, yeah, like you're saying, the last point of no return before things start kind of like unveiling themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm curious where you were at this point. Like who were you? What were you expecting if you were, because I was kind of expecting a twist, obviously, if it's like one of these ones where you're jumping back and forth on who you suspect. It did feel like a twist was coming, but I was also like, I kind of was ready for anything. So I'm curious what you where you were at.
Yeah, so leading up to it, I don't know if I was like really expecting a big twist. I was expecting that he was not the good guy, I guess.
That he was? Okay.
That like just from the trophies and the him constantly just kind of pushing off her, what trying to leave and all that. Like, I was just like, you, I think you're the bad guy. I'm feeling confident of that. I didn't expect the actual like supernatural aspect of it.
Wait, do you think this movie's supernatural?
Well,
That's
I
a
mean,
good question. We'll talk. I guess we'll talk about it in a
maybe
minute.
it's not supernatural, but like it comes off as supernatural, but
It's like a little natural. It's not supernatural, but it's a little
it's
bit.
not ghosts, but I interpreted his I interpreted his insanity.
Yeah, it's
It's
more of
like
like
a
a mental.
visualization of his insanity. It's not
Your
actually
mentals, yeah.
ghosts or stuff.
Your mind's playing tricks on you, which I feel like is pretty much, we can say, not supernatural. However, like, I don't know. I guess that's so funny because I was expecting this to end with, like, because she was like seeing those trophies and finding those things, but then it was like they were going back to normal. So I was like, maybe she's like had something happen to her or like is
It's a
super.
revenge story. Like she's gonna
Yeah.
revenge him.
Or like she was like really scared of this happening, like, and it was just her imagining those things looking worse than they were, or like putting weight into things that really weren't a big deal.
Yeah.
And like all this stuff, because it kind of kept feeling like every time she was like really stressed or suspecting something, he was like kind of coming out of it like, oh, okay. And then it would like calm down. So I was like expecting her to be like, either she's crazy or she's imagining this. Maybe she had some PTSD. That's a big fucking theme in movies lately.
Yeah.
So I was just ready. So it's funny that we're both at two different places because I feel like I should have been in the place where you were, which is like, this guy's definitely a fucking gonna kill her. Like, you know what I mean? If I was smart, maybe, but I guess I'm not as smart as I think. So I was really rooting for this guy. I mean, he really won me over by the end. But yeah, I think then that's where we can maybe just transition to the first of the
Yeah.
twist, which is like right after the wife story, and you're like totally okay, like relaxed on this guy.
Yeah.
And then she finds, like, when she finally takes the drink, and there's like the lipstick stain on the glass, which is
Yeah.
like totally undercuts everything he just fucking said.
Yeah. Well, and then, yeah, it's like he hears some loud noise outside or
He goes
something. And so
outside for no reason, basically.
he runs out, and then she runs to the back room, which the camera has been like shooting, like alluding to. There's something
Haunting
back
back
there.
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something
And.
creepy behind that fucking like flannel sheet that's like in the way of things, right?
Yeah, and
And then
then
the phone rings.
or she sees the phone. Oh
Well,
yeah,
'cause
the
the cell
phone.
phone
Yeah, the
starts
phone did
ringing
ring.
and he's
Yeah.
like, I don't have a phone, I don't have a mobile, which I guess in this day and age, you should be sketch if someone says that. Most
Yeah.
people, I don't care if you live in bumfuck nowhere, you probably have a fucking mobile. I've seen so many homeless people with phones. So like, I imagine it would be really sketch if you're like, really, you don't have a phone? Okay.
Yeah, and then that's where she finds the body.
Yes, with
Of
the
so
chips.
with the chips, so the story of his wife,
Meeting her at the gas station and buying her chips because she was wasted. It's like so fucked because you're like, oh man, he really sold that. This guy's crazier than I thought.
yeah, and then we get the crazy like one take scene where they do like the panorama, the spinning camera thing again, where he like drags her from the door to the kitchen,
Yep.
duct tapes her up.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
It's
oh my
crazy.
God, this is wild. Like,
Flips on a dime, man.
and then he walks down the hallway like to get something. And then like the camera shows her like crawling. And it was so intense. And like the movie up to this point was, you could say it was monotone in the sense that it was just like tense the whole way. And
Yeah.
then like this is where like it ratchets it up and it gets real crazy. And
yeah,
it,
once he's tying her up, you're like, well, shit, we're off to the races. And I was honestly just so fucking shocked, which is crazy. But like,
and then he like pours the drink down
her throat. And then he's telling her about all the women that he's killed and like all this stuff and how funny it is that he had just killed that woman. And then she showed up at his house and like all this shit. And you're like, wow, okay, what the fuck? And then she's like trying to get away and he's telling her about the effects that the thing has on it. And
yeah.
Then that's when he mentions like the first girl that he killed, right?
Yeah.
Who he met on the beach and that had the tattoo of like the heartbeat and that
yeah.
he watched it flutter and then she died like after like he saw it stop.
Yeah.
And then that's when he realizes like how she is actually like the same girl as the first one when he like look, that's like where
yeah.
we get twist number two, because you're already like, okay, so he's just a killer.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that's at least like, that makes sense. And then he sees that she has the same tattoo. So then you're like, okay, wait a minute. Did he actually kill her? Like, or is there anybody here? Like, what's going on? That was like where my mind was like, I'm sorry, what?
that was so weird. Cause yeah, like he has that whole speech about the effects of this thing. And he's like, you've had 8 mils of it or whatever. And so like, she's actively dying. And then he puts the cloth over and she dies. He told that story and then he pulls her shirt up and he sees the tattoo. And then it's like, wait, 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 wait,
what?
Wait, what's going on? Cause
yep.
Then my head was immediately going back to all of the weird things that we saw of like her earring. And then she finds her earring and then the blood on her head in the shower.
And then
it's
not there. And then,
wait,
the hammer being bloody and not being bloody.
And then her story changing. It's like, wait, what's going on?
Yep.
And then that's when the movie goes absolutely nuts. Like she sits up and she has the blood. She has the wound on her head. And then he has the hammer in his hand. It's like, wait a second. What is happening?
That was the first one. Now, are we in Inception? Like, has he come back all full, or is he like in a time loop? Honestly, that went through my head again with the time loop shit. I was like, wait a minute, he's back at the beginning. Maybe I'm just like ready for another time loop movie. But then what's interesting is that like he gets, as soon as he realizes that and he starts freaking out, it's like then he sees all the other women that he's killed and then he starts imagining the police. And I love that they play like his earlier lines from the movie over it.
Yeah.
Because that was something that like I immediately rewatched this movie like when I first watched it, because I was like the next day I watched it again because I was like, I need to rewatch it all. And everything makes so much more sense when you do that. But like everything he said is like really, really fucking fits with like especially the ending and talking about how he wants to be new and all these things haunting him. Right.
Yeah.
So it really just comes out in this ending. But then he's like pulled into darkness, covered in blood. And like it's like he's like a baby or like inside of a womb again. And then he hears the sounds of his dad, which he told that story earlier about when he was a kid and his mom was whoever the fuck knows. And his dad, the power went out and he was just in the dark listening to his dad wheeze and like the ventilator waiting for it to go out.
Yeah.
What I noticed this time was that like at the very end when he's having that situation and they kind of like overlap with like the sounds of the women dying and that, it's the same raspy breathing that the women are making that the dad made on the ventilator. So it's like he's just been recreating. That's why he gives them that shit that makes them die the same way, like slowly slipping away with the breaths.
Yeah,
fascinating. I didn't notice that the first few times. I watched that again last night and was like, holy shit, fourth watch just picked that up. But fascinating, right? Because I never realized that that was like the thing that he was trying to do, even when he told that story. And then when she died later, like it didn't hit until it was all kind of overlapping in this crazy vision that he's having.
Yeah.
Of like the police showing up and like being born again and he's covered in blood and like hearing all that shit and all the bodies. It's really weird.
I never noticed that. I've only watched it twice. So, you know, two more times then I'll pick that up. But
well, I'm just giving you a heads up now. Watch it again and pay attention to that ending part. It's crazy. But then what's great is like, he's like struggling having this whole thing. So you could tell like he is guilty about everything. Like, cause he was saying that earlier, these demons haunting him and you're like, but if it wasn't something bad, like this is definitely haunting him now.
Yeah.
And the fact that like, he's basically when it cuts back from this crazy vision that he's having, and he's like sitting at the table like he was at the beginning, and like the bottle's gone, and then it's like he hears the kids knocking. So I'm like, it's just like so crazy. But you're like, okay, so basically then it shows that he had drank all the stuff, so like he had had
he's gonna die.
He's basically drank all the shit, now he's gonna die. But it's like when he opens the door and there's actually the kids running away and shit, and then he closes the door and he's just like laughing because he like realized that he drank it all.
Yeah.
He's like gonna kill it. He just killed himself, basically. It's like he's laughing, but it's like exactly what he wanted, weirdly, from the beginning
yeah.
of the movie. He just wanted to basically be gone and start over.
And there's no storm at the end.
There's no storm. So he imagined all that too, which it makes sense because it sounds like the first girl, which is the one who basically was this whole time, and he kept saying she looked familiar. She also was like soaking wet from a storm when
Yeah.
he first met her. So that makes sense. But it's also like, damn, dude, like that's some powerful drugs or something. Cause I'm wondering, like, it can't just be his guilt that's making him have all these visions. I imagined it was also the drug that he accidentally drank.
Maybe. I guess
But
I hadn't
he
really
also
thought
kind of
about
drinks that later, but I don't know.
I think I was just. I think I interpreted it just as like his insanity, you know, like he talked about throughout the movie, like, you know, his paranoia and
yeah.
like he had met so many women or like he had killed so many women that like they all started to like blur together. And then like
Yeah,
she
like
even said that we all blur together, the girls you meet at the bar.
yeah.
And like he couldn't remember her. But then, yeah, like at the end when he pops out covered in blood and you see just like all of the bodies, it's like this dude's killed a lot of people.
Yeah, like he's just been sitting here basically like stressed out, like fucking paranoid, thinking the cops are showing up any minute, he's fucked. And then also sounds like he was wrestling with some guilt, or maybe just like, how have I gotten away with this for so long? It doesn't feel like it's going to actually happen and all this stuff. So it's interesting that he's in the end the one that takes himself down, which I guess, I don't know. I thought that this was a great ending personally, because I
Yeah.
feel like it made sense and I like the double twist. But then the fact that like it doesn't feel supernatural, right? At least to me, it felt like his mind, like you said, or like the drug that he drank playing tricks on him. Plus, he drank like a whole bottle of fucking liquor. So
Yeah.
I imagine that also helps. But I took it as like a very cool ending because I thought like the most basic thing you could have guessed from the opening of the movie, like the first 10 minutes, you probably would say, okay, he's a killer, like, or he's bad and he's going to kill her. So like
Yeah.
the fact that they took us on this journey and went all these different directions, especially me, because I was really not on board with that from the beginning, weirdly. But like, I do feel like it's crazy how they made the twist of like him being the one that did it all and all this stuff, like the most obvious answer kind of flipped that and still made it a twist ending.
Yeah. And like this is a fun movie to watch. Yeah, more than once, because like they lay so many like clues throughout the movie
Yeah.
that tie to that reveal that she's the first. And like
He's just his mind's mixed up.
even the song that he's listening to in the beginning is like the song that was on the radio when he picked her up.
And it's literally talking about like sleepwalking and sleep, like sleeping. So it's like he's asleep the whole time. Like it's literally all the obvious clues are there, but the like greatness of the movie is that it's not obvious still
Yeah.
until your second watch, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody's super like Sherlock Holmes and figured it out instantly, but like I don't know. I guess I was just, you know, nowadays too, I feel like there's always got to be something. It's not going to be, they have to do something different or twist it or whatever. So the fact that they still twisted it, but it made sense and came back to like the most obvious explanation was really cool. But I did hear people were bothered and thought the ending kind of was lame.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is really, it's really like a, I don't know, it seems like a movie that's like you either like these kind of movies or you don't, you know, because it's not necessarily like an easy watch. Like you really have to pay
Speak
attention
for
and
yourself.
But like, but you, yeah, really you have to pay attention. And you have to listen to like their conversations because
and notice the little shots of things where they're like showing the earrings that she's wearing, and you're like, why are we focusing on those? There's got to be something.
Yeah, the more that like you engage and like focus and play, and you engage with the movie and this whole like who's the bad one or like who's the one with bad motives or whatever, the more you engage with that, the more. The better this movie is. It's like, yeah. This is not a casual watching movie. Like,
exactly. But it's like crazy because it's like you would say that, but it's like normally that's something that you would say for like a Game of Thrones or something where like you can't just casually watch that. There's a lot of complicated shit happening, or like Dune, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, but this is also similar, but it's like way like easier to follow, but you just have to be engaged. It's like they're not spitting out complicated shit,
yeah.
But you just have to still be aware. And it's almost like, if you're wanting to be the detective and figure it out, it's kind of perfect. I think people who like this kind of genre obviously will like this movie, mm-hmm. But like in general, I think if you like horror or you're like interesting character driven movies, Tarantino movies, even if Hateful Eight is your thing, this is definitely very much in the same wheelhouse. I think it's definitely a thinker, but I would say don't let that deter you if you're like, oh, I just want to watch something entertaining. Like, this is still entertaining as fuck.
Yeah, like I think this is a really good movie for people to watch just to like get an idea of like what you're able to do with small budgets.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you maximize your movie? Do you want to add all these things that are like visually appealing or like, oh, this will be give, you know, this little scene will be fun to watch, mm-hmm. or whatever, and give people a break from talking. But it's like, if you don't have the budget, then you don't have the budget. So it's like, They really just maximized what they could do with this. And, you know, this is very similar to, you know, Quentin Tarantino. Like, his first movie, Reservoir Dogs, I think was made for less than $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
they don't even show the big fucking, like, you know, heist of the movie, which is like unheard of. Like, for, yeah. That's like if they did Ocean's 11 and they never showed the heist.
Yeah.
You're like, what? But it works because it's all about who's the rat. That's not, the plot isn't about the heist, right?
Yeah.
It's who's fucking lying, who's figuring out who's the werewolf, basically, like the old game. And that's basically what this movie is. And that's very similar. And if you love Tarantino dialogue, where it doesn't even have to be like the opening scene of fucking that I always think of when I think of Tarantino is from Inglourious Basterds. Like, that for a long time, you don't even know what's happening, what the conversation is going to get to. And then when it kind of gets there, it gets so intense. And I feel like this movie kind of plays with that same tone where it's like, sometimes it's like, feels like, okay, maybe I can like let my guard down, but then something will say like turn and you're like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Sketchy, what the fuck, like, why isn't he responding to her wanting to get a phone call, you know? He's like ignoring that and talking about something else, of the weather, you know what I mean?
It's totally
like shit like that you're like, I still, it tenses up, and it's just great dialogue, man. If you have a great script, you can really, and then also pairing it with this great filmmaking, I would have loved to see how they shot this movie, like behind the scenes and stuff.
Oh yeah,
I feel like that's always what I say about micro budget movies, like the ultimate is always like, wouldn't you have loved to like just be a fly in the woods, I guess, when they filmed Blair Witch, because it's like they had nothing and they don't show anything in that movie, but it's one of the scariest movies of all time, you know what I mean? Things like that, these kind of micro budgets, when they do something amazing with nothing, it's just a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, and like, if they did this with as small of a budget as they had, like, God, I'll watch anything that they do. Like,
yeah,
you know, Tarantino movies, he was able to get bigger budgets, but still keep that core,
dialogue,
character driven thing. It's like, I would love to see these two get bigger budgets and just see what they can do with that and how they can evolve. Cause like, this is a really great debut, just showing your skills as filmmakers. So
100%.
I'm on board.
Same here.
Made it through that very, very tense movie, and I need a little break. I need something a little more lighthearted to kind of get me back into the mood for spring and summer as we get there.
Don't be such a bitch, Jace. Come on. It's just a fucking thriller, okay? We can handle this kind of shit. This is what we're made for. But yes, I do feel like it's nice to switch things up at least and do something a little bit different. So yeah. I'm with you there, but I think, come on, you should have tougher skin by that than, well, you know, by now.
Sorry, not all of us, you know, fall asleep to the soothing sounds of people screaming as they, you know, get killed.
Just like, I just rewatched the Saw torture scenes when I go to bed. I don't know what's so weird about that.
Well, we're gonna switch it up a little bit, but not too much. I mean, this movie isn't really a horror movie, but it's kind of got some tones to it. Renee, what are we watching next week?
We're watching Lisa Frankenstein, which just dropped on Peacock, and it stars Catherine Newton and is it Cole Sprouse or Dylan Sprouse?
Cole Sprouse.
Cole Sprouse. Okay, because they're twins.
Yeah.
And people probably know him from, I think, the Archie show, but also, like, we know him from back in the day from, like, Big Daddy.
He was the little kid.
The little kid.
Big Dad. He was Ross Geller's son.
Yes.
And
on Friends.
What a glow up. That guy's awesome.
Little old Ben. Now he's like fucking Frankenstein. This movie's really great. It's definitely more of like a comedy with like a little horror tinge, but like I would say very much more in the comedy field.
Yeah, I don't even know really why I put this on. I think I was just curious of it. I heard some like some decent things about it. And I really enjoyed it. Like, it's really fun. If you grew up and like loved Edward Scissorhands, I think you'll love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like it's got all the vibes.
Very similar. Yeah, 100%. It almost feels like a Tim Burton, like kind of updated a
totally.
Little bit, but more girly, which is just a great idea and concept, and to bring it to life is perfect. People that saw it said it was so amazing and that they wish more people had like heard about it, gone to see it. But now that it's on Peacock, hopefully we can help at least change some minds to check it out. It's very, very fun. It's like a Frankenstein story, but twisted with like a high school girl and a zombie boy. It's incredible.
It's really fun. And that's a thing that I saw like on a lot of the reviews that I saw was like, this is a cult classic for sure. Like,
yeah.
This is a movie that people will like, it will be beloved by people just because. Yeah, it's a good time.
Exactly. It's just a delightful movie and it's very, very fun. And we're just like, this month is legit halfway to Halloween, people. So like we are putting in the spooky shit because we got to just get ready. So this is like a great little baby step.
Yeah, like this movie's not scary.
No, not in any way, but that's not meant to be. It's very, very fun.
Yeah, it's a blast. So that's it for this week. And we'll see you next week on the regular exclusive podcast.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. We out here.